I'm pulling up my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, guys, I'm going to try something that people have been asking me to do on my blog. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record a podcast about the set I just turned in, talking completely, fully, everything about it. And I don't know, for example, so the set in question is Tennis. I don't even know the name of the set yet. It doesn't have a real name yet. I just know it as Tennis. I handed off Tennis a couple weeks ago to set design. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk through the set, like normally when I tell the story of a set, I know the ending of the story. I know where things end up. But I don't right now. I don't know where it's going to end up. So what I'm going to try doing is recording a podcast about the set in present day, as I know about it. I just handed it off, and this will give you a chance to sort of see it unvarnished, see me talking about the set without knowledge of the future, of just hearing in the moment what is going on. And I think since I just handed Tennis over, that was a good, like, it's the most recent thing that I just finished. So I'm going to talk all about this set, and then 2 years from now, well, assuming you're hearing this, this could be experiments that that no one ever hears. But if you're hearing it now, that means that the experiment worked and you are hearing it. And so here's a chance to hear me from 2 years ago talking all about a set and talking about it in a way that maybe is illuminating to some things about how we made the set that maybe in the finished product, I don't know, I wouldn't talk about it, or I'm not sure. But anyway, people wanted me to have sort of an unvarnished podcast. And to do that, I have to do it and then save it for the future once everything about the set is known. So that is today. Today is the story of Tennis, the unvarnished version. Okay, so Tennis began as the idea of, well, how did it start? I think the idea was we wanted to do, I think we originally called it Death Race, was the idea of imagine just people racing, you know, there's a lot of tropes in movies and stuff of racing. And there's this subclass category, what I'll call the death race. But really what it means is they're racing a far distance, no holds barred, anything goes. And, you know, there's a lot on the line, but, you know, there is sort of combat kind of built into it. The idea being that the first person who finishes wins. But, you know, hey, if I stop someone else along the way, maybe that helps me win, you know. So it is both a race, but it also has a combat aspect to it, which felt good for a game about combat. And I think Death Race is one of those things that had gotten pitched a bunch of different times. And then what happened was with Marathon, we changed the cosmology of the multiverse. So the Phyrexian Invasion opened up what we call Omen Paths. And Omen Paths now allow any person, not just a planeswalker, any person to move between planes. Now, a planeswalker can kind of choose where they go. A normal person can only go where there's an open gate, and Omen Paths are fickle, so like if you go through one, maybe you can't come back. So it's a much, much bigger deal for a non-planeswalker to go through an Omen Path than a planeswalker who can planeswalk somewhere and planeswalk back. But anyway, what it meant was we had changed the cosmology of the multiverse. And one of the things I wanted to do was every year I wanted to make one set that we couldn't have made before without the change, right? Try to take advantage of the change. So quilting, which again, I don't know the name of that. Quilting already came out, if Tennis already came out. Quilting played around with the idea of having a singular theme, which was villains. Villains on a Wild West world. I hope all that's still true. And we could go up the multiverse and grab all the villains we wanted from around the multiverse. So it allowed us to take a theme and then get sort of a multiverse play of that theme. The set's about villains. You get to meet villains from around the multiverse that have all come to this world, this villainous world. So the idea of Tennis was, I called it a travelogue. Well, another way to take advantage of the multiverse and Omen Pass is, what if a set travels between them as part of the set? So we sort of married the idea of a travelogue with a death race. Okay, well, what if the race was across different planes? And so the idea was We would, we talked about whether we wanted to be three or four planes. In the end, we decided that three planes was enough. We didn't need four planes. I think originally we were talking four planes, and then like, three planes. When we first pitched it, I mean, we knew it was going to be Kaladesh, just because vehicles and, you know, energy, we thought energy would be cool as fuel. That it felt like Kaladesh would be the home of the race. But the idea was, what were the other worlds? And so the thing we went through was, what are worlds that we'd like to visit that, hey, maybe it wouldn't be super easy to do a whole set based on that world, but we could, you know, doing a third of a set is a lot easier. And it's also something where the race is the focus. So we don't have to worry about the story of the world as much as the environment of the world, the visuals of the world. And so we went through. So we ended up picking two other worlds that we thought were a cool place to drive through. And that was Amonkhet and Ikoria. And then, I don't know, midway through Vision, or early in Vision, we decided instead of Ikoria to make it Murugandha. So Murugandha is this prehistoric plane that we've referenced in Magic. We've had cards set there. We definitely have... I mean, there's numerous cards that talk about Murugandha, so the audience knows of its existence, but we had never been there. And I think we decided it might be cool if one of these worlds was... when I say new, it's not that people hadn't heard of Murugandha, but we haven't really been there in any larger way. I mean, we've been there on maybe a handful of cards. So anyway, so we decided that the race would be Kaladesh, Amonkhet, Murugandha. And the big idea of the set was that we really wanted to play up racing. We talked a lot about how much we wanted to reflect the worlds versus reflect racing. And early on, we did talk about, because Kaladesh has vehicles, has energy. There are a bunch of things that were very Kaladeshian, if you will. And so early on, we looked, back when the set was Amonkhet and Ikoria, there's one point where we talked about maybe we'll have Exert from Ikoria, because, you know, exerting makes a lot of sense in racing, that you're pushing your car to do things that maybe it shouldn't, but then it stalls out. And we talked about maybe doing keyword counters from Ikoria. But as the more we got into it, the more we realized that the cool thing about it was kind of the racing tropes itself. And especially when we got to Murugandha, that, I mean, I understand Vanilla Matters was something we put there, but it's very, very hard to do Vanilla Matters in a world where we almost never make vanilla creatures. So that just didn't make any sense. My assumption is it'll be one or two cards at high rarities if you want to do Vanilla Matters in casual constructed, but it's just not a theme we could build in as a limited theme remotely. So in the end, we decided to play up racing more so than play up the individual worlds. That the worlds were more the backdrop, and we'll see the creatures from the worlds and characters from the worlds and places from the worlds. We're visiting the worlds and we'll be there, but it's through the lens of this race, and the race was the thing we wanted to play up. So there were three pillars during Vision design. One of the pillars was vehicles. Basically, the idea was, okay, there's going to be a spectrum of the set with the most vehicles ever to the set with the least vehicles ever. So the set with the least vehicles ever are sets with zero vehicles. We make those. And the idea was, I didn't know what the top end of vehicles were. I didn't know what... how many vehicles set with the most vehicles should have. But I did know, if we're doing a set about racing, this set should be the set with the most vehicles. So I know we spent a lot of time early on talking through about what do we need to do to have a lot of vehicles. Like, what are the things that get in your way with having too many vehicles? Part of that was making sure they had other purposes, so that the vehicles did something until you use them as a vehicle, or the vehicles had an enter the battlefield effect that kind of mimicked a spell, or the vehicles could, like... some of the vehicles had means to turn on other than tapping creatures, so there are other decks that could run them. The goal that we had when we made the set was, at least in Vision Design, was that it's not that we wanted one set to have lots of vehicles, we wanted most sets to have some vehicles. So the idea was, vehicles were a tool that, in this standard environment, is something that most people might think of using. So we had a lot of vehicles with a lot of different strategies and a lot of different varieties, so... Once again, we weren't really trying to make an all-vehicle deck. That's very hard to do, and that wasn't our goal. But we were trying to make it such that no matter what you're playing, there might be a vehicle that makes sense for you to play. That was sort of our goal. That vehicles were something that everybody considered. Not that every deck had them, but something that at least every deck could think about. And so we also made a bunch of vehicles that had alternate ways for you to turn them sort of into creatures. So a lot of the current vehicles require a certain amount of creatures, right? You have to crew them. And so we tried a bunch of different things. Anyway, we had a whole bunch of vehicles. When we turned in the set, it had the highest percentage of vehicles we ever had. I don't know what the finished product will look like, but it was definitely more vehicles than we'd ever done in a previous set. Not a crazy number, but a good number. My guess is that, and a lot of, it's funny. I don't know whether set design will pull it down some. I don't think they'll make it more. I think we turned it in a little on the high side. So we'll see. The second pillar was, it is a race. And so we wanted a mechanic that was about racing. So we came up with a mechanic called the race. And what the race was is... cards can enter the race. When you enter the race, you and only you enter the race, although other people, when they enter the race, can also enter the race. The race, there's a little card, a little outside object you get that shows the three legs of the race. Leg one was in Kaladesh, leg two was in Amonkhet, leg three was in Murugandha. And the idea is you go on the start, and then each turn, in order to get to that leg, you must do that much damage to the opponent. Just damage, not combat damage, damage. So if I do one damage on the first turn, I can go to the first leg. And then it takes two damage to go to the second leg, and it takes three damage to go to the third leg. The third leg also is the finish line. Once you have finished, every card that lets you start the race gives you some bonus for having finished the race, which I think we called victory lap, I think is what we called it in Vision. Some of the cards, for example, let you flash them back. Like the spells that, for example, might start a race might let you flash them back. Some of the creatures could get upgraded when you know. So the idea is the things that started the race then got rewarded if you finished the race. Also, the first person to finish the race in the game got a treasure for themselves, and every other person or anybody who finishes gets a treasure for themselves and every other person that hasn't finished. So in a two-person game, if you win, and if you finish first, you get two treasure. If your opponent later finishes, they'll get one treasure. In a multiplayer game, you can get more treasure, obviously. Anyway, we did that. So that was the second leg, sort of representing racing. And then the third leg was energy, representing fuel. Now, the way we played around with energy in what we handed off was energy was an alternate source. So all of our energy, or most of our energy costs, also let you pay something else. Mana was the most common thing. And when we turned it off, we made a two-bit energy symbol where you could spend a certain amount of mana, usually two, or energy. So to pay this cost, spend an energy or spend two mana. I think we toyed around with colored mana or energy and three mana energy. I think we handed off two-bit with energy, so two mana or energy. But there might have been some color stuff we handed off too. The idea was that there's some addition, like if you don't have the energy, you can pay for it some other way. And what that allows us to do is it lets you, energy becomes more of a way to make things cheaper rather than just its own resource system, if you will. That it's that there's, one of the problems we had last time in Kaladesh was it was really all or nothing, and it got a little more parasitic. So either you were all in on energy or you weren't, but it was hard to mix and match energy cards. These cards, because you can pay mana, maybe you're not playing energy at all, but you still can pay the mana. Or maybe you're playing a little bit of energy, and the plan is, if I can use energy, I will, but in a pinch, I don't have to. We also turned over cards with kicker that had energy at two-bit energy for kicker. So you can pay mana to kick it, or you can pay energy to kick it, but obviously it's much more mana efficient if you have energy. And the idea that we had done with our energy in this set, as handed off at Vision, was that we were being a little bit stingier with getting energy, but we were giving you a lot of fun ways to spend your energy. So the idea is, formally, the last time we did energy, we had made it a little bit too easy to get energy. So in standard, we'd be a little bit stingier, it's a little bit harder, we'd have a little more control of how strong energy is. But in larger formats, like Modern, that has access to Kaladesh, well, you'd have access to a lot, energy would flow freer, so you'd be able to do a lot more things. And so, yeah, we could control the power level of how strong the cards were based on, you know, do you need other energy things? And in larger formats, you'd have those means to get energy. But we would do cool things, so when you combine with ways to get energy, here's cool new things you can do with energy. That was the plan. Now, even in vision design, we knew that we were being a bit adventuresome. When we have a thing called the Vision Summit, where we show off where the vision design is to play design, to Aaron Forsyth, my boss, and just multiple people to sort of talk about what they think about the design. The response we got from the Vision Summit was we were biting off a lot, meaning there was a lot going on. The idea was that vehicles are tricky to get to work. The race was a brand new thing that really, playing in space we'd never played before, so just understanding would take a lot. And energy has an economy to it that's hard. So the note we had gotten is all three of those things might be too much. So what we did in Vision Design is we designed some backups. So one of the backups was called Encourage. Encourage was a variant on Exalted, and the idea of it was that it's like Exalted, but instead of granting +1/+1, it can grant more things. And the flavor was the idea of teaming up. The set has this flavor of there's 10 teams in the 10 two-color pairs that represent different sort of tropes we're playing into. You know, there's Mad Max, there's Monaco Racing, there's, you know, robots. I mean, we had a lot. And there were a lot of different things at the time. I'm not sure when the dust settles. But the idea was that we're racing teams and that this could be recommended as flavoring, as teaming up and helping, you know, helping your team. And the idea that Exalted or an Exalted-like mechanic works so well is with vehicles where you're tapping out to player one vehicle, it's like, well, I tap up my creatures that might have this mechanic, but then the vehicle, which is attacking alone, could get the bonus. So I both could use my creatures to tap out and then, you know, lend something to the lone attacking vehicle. Another thing we talked about? We pitched a couple of mechanics. I'm blanking on the other mechanic. We pitched a couple backup. Oh, other things that were in the set, by the way, that we handed off. I should finish with that. We had a thing we called Speedy, which was a batch. And Speedy affected all creatures that had crew or a haste or flash. And they represent things that were fast. And so there's things that could help Speedy things. Oh, I forgot when I talked vehicles. We had come up with something brand new at the time we made it, which was a variant of crew we called Crew Steed. Not a great name, I know. That represented, instead of crewing vehicles, of sort of riding animals, a mount mechanic. We had tried a different mount mechanic in original quilting, but what we did for this set, because it was all about vehicles, our variant for mounting basically worked just like crewing worked. And in fact, we put crew in the name so that things that cared about things being crewed counted this. And the idea was they were animals. You didn't turn them on because obviously they're animals, but you gave them ability, usually if they attacked, if they had been crewed. And it ended up working out so well that we ended up putting it, I believe, the plan right now is that we put it into quilting. So the idea is this mechanic that we had made for this set, by the time you see it, it should be something you'd already seen in quilting, but it originally got made in tennis and then put, once we liked it, we swapped out the mounting mechanic that my team, that I had done quilting, had made for quilting in this. So there's a mechanic in the set that is new from a vision design standpoint, but in theory, to you guys, should be old hat. You've already seen it. This is the second time it appears. Another mechanic that we handed over, this is one of the ones I'm more skeptical, was it cared about how many lands you had on the battlefield of different names. And mostly there was a threshold of four different names, but we had some scaling effects that scaled on different names. One of the notes we got in the summit was it's a mechanic that's a little bit too easy to turn on and constructed, and meaning that you kind of had to cost it as if it didn't mean anything to do. And so it really limited how many cards we could make. So anyway, I'm dubious that one sticks around, but I don't know. We handed it over with it in it. What was that? There was one other. We handed over a bunch of Alternate Mechanics. I told you about Encourage. Oh, Tor. Tor was the name of the other mechanic we handed over. How did Tor work? Tor was... it was a keyword action. And what Tor meant is you look at the top card of your library. You don't have to reveal it. You look at the top card of your library. You may choose to reveal it if you want to, if it's a land. You look at the top card. If it's a land, you can choose to reveal it. If you do, you put the card on the bottom of your library and do this action again. So essentially what this means is that if this mechanic lets you draw a card that's not a land if you so desire. You can get a land if you need a land and, you know, you don't have to show your opponent that it is a land. You can just keep it. But the idea is that I get to keep going basically until I get a non-land. So I get a... We called it a cycling with gas. In the sense that you get to... it's a keyword action. Some of the cards we put it on as samples was you could discard it to do it, so that's like cycling. But it could just be a keyword action, like a cantrip or something like that. And we called it Tor. Encourage and Tor weren't in the set, but were handed over as mechanics that the team could use if some of our more adventuresome mechanics... Like, one of the things about vision design is... we want to push things a little bit, right? We want to stretch boundaries, and we want to sort of try new things. But we want to respect the people downstream of us, set design, play design, and we don't want to make something that's too hard to make. So what we tend to do is we'll be a bit adventuresome, but then make some backup things. So Encourage is a great example of, it's like Exalted, we understand Exalted. It's a little bit different, it's doing things beyond +1/+1, but we generally understand the mechanics. So designing from the mechanic isn't a giant ask of play design, where something like the race is a really, really big ask. So, you know, I could imagine, for example, if the race doesn't work out, okay, they swap out the race and put Encourage in his place. That very much, you know, you guys might go, that's exactly what happened. I have no idea. The one thing I do know is, so what happened was we had our vision summit. The note we had was the set was a little bit on the aggressive side. The mechanics had to push toward aggression. And, our main three pillar mechanics were all medium to difficult to do, and that was too many medium to difficult mechanics. So what happened was Yanni Skolnick, who was the set design lead, he asked if he could take a month to try to demonstrate why these might not be as hard to do as they think, and do some testing on that regards. So Yanni took all three things into set design. We just handed it off. So my gut is all three of them sticking in the set is probably less likely than not. Here, I will predict. I now can play the game where you know it and I don't. Vehicles will stay in the set. Vehicles matter will stay in the set. It was the number one. We also prioritized our three main pillars. Number one was vehicles. It's just hard with a straight face to do the death race set and not have vehicles. So I think it's possible that they lower the percentage of vehicles, that there's less of them in the set. I still think we'll have more vehicles than any other set, but what we turned into what they could do, there's a gap. So my gut is they're probably going to make it a little lower percentage than we did, but not by a lot, and it'd still be the highest we've ever done, my guess. Second pillar was the race. The race was something like, if we're going to do it, it was so suited to this world. You know, there's three legs and three worlds. And, like, it was a fun mechanic that played well. It has a bunch of complications. It's really playing in new space. I could see them pulling it if they just realize that, like, there's just too much going on. And, there's some... I'll get to pillar three in a second, which is energy. There's some reasons that, for larger meta reasons, maybe to want energy. Energy is showing up in other places before the set comes out. So maybe this is a desire to try to get energy up to a level in stuff like modern or older formats in general. The race was fun and was cool, but definitely was the most out there new thing we had done, which also was a positive for it. You know, it was super flavorful. I think if the race stays, there's a lot of ways to do the economy of how the race works. And right now, we put a lot of prizes in finishing the race. I could see more rewards along the way, so it's not about getting done, but like there's like we did it so you only got a reward at the end. Our reward was a little bit of treasure, but really you upgrade the cards that start the race. I could see them giving more rewards from the race itself, and less on the cards. That allows you to make it a little less parasitic and maybe push individual cards a little more. So there's a decent chance they're going to do that. Also, we had the race, the winning the race get you treasure. It was the only treasure in the set when we made it. We did it because it's super flavorful. I could see them changing that. So if race stays in, I could see them changing the dynamics of how things work, and the output and, you know, the bunch of things they could change if it stays. Energy was our third pillar. Energy is the easiest of the three pillars to pull. I think energy does good work. I like a lot of things we did with energy. I think Magic players want more energy cards. So, like, I think there's a lot of good things in having energy in the set. But if you're trying to make a racing set, well, the energy as fuel makes a lot of sense in the racing set. And the plans was to represent energy not just on Kaladesh, but in all three worlds. And each world would have its own kind of energy. It is just the easiest thing to pull from the set from a structural standpoint. So while I like energy and I'd like energy to stay, and I kind of hope energy is in the set, I do recognize that it was the easiest of the three pillars to pull, and we had ranked it as the third most important pillar. So the other thing that might happen is they do a smattering of energy, and it's not a major theme, but maybe it's just one archetype, blue-red probably, if that's... So, I mean, energy could be anywhere from not in the set to being a small portion of the set to being a big thing, and they had removed other stuff. Or Yanni figured out how to do it all in a way that play design signed off on. I don't know. Speedy is something that I liked and enjoyed. The concern with speedy is haste is a tricky thing to push. And the thing that was kind of cool to me was it took haste and flash, which were things that were normally virtual, and said, hey, you know, there's some more utility to them. Play design definitely didn't know what it entailed, and like there's so much else going on that speedy is not even one of the three pillars. So I don't know if you guys will see speedy. It was kind of fun. Speedy for us from a vision design standpoint, in limited was a lot more about crewing than anything else. Yeah, there were a few hasty flash creatures, but it was much more about crewing. And the idea in constructed formats, it was more about haste and flash. And it's possible caring about haste and flash in constructed, because haste generally so good in constructed, might not be, you know, might cause problems. I'm not sure. So speedy's prognosis, while it's a lot of fun and it's cool, there also was some argument about, like, couldn't other things be seen as speedy and stuff like that? Like, First Strike, isn't First Strike speedy? It's like, well, we play First Strike as being good at combat, and sometimes it's having a reach weapon. You know, there's a bunch of different ways we play it. We don't tend to play First Strike as speed number one. Usually it's being a better fighter, having more reach, but sometimes it's speed, so there was talk about that. But, and then the four different lands, different named lands, I'm highly skeptical that one's going to stick around, but it may. Anyway, I was pretty proud of my design team. I thought that we made a very robust, fun set, you know, and that, like I said, the interesting. Let me talk a little bit about something like giving you the behind the scenes thing here from 2 years ago. Is I know I handed over an adventuresome set. And one of the things that's going on was, and one of the things that often happens in R&D is we only have so many resources and other things can pop up. For example, at this time, we were consolidating the draft booster and the set booster into a consolidated booster. What had happened was we realized that you know, Magic set boosters for people that weren't drafting weren't as exciting to open. So we made the set booster to make it exciting for them. We made it a little too exciting in the sense that just people weren't buying draft boosters for any purpose other than drafting. And so it was creating this imbalance. And so what we said is, okay, well, let's take the fun of opening a set booster and make it playable like a draft booster and rather have two different boosters that were causing all sorts of headaches for everybody. Us included, but also store owners and a lot of people. Let's just combine them and say, can we make a booster pack that's exciting to open as a set design booster, but playable like a draft booster? And that work was going on right now, which is a huge amount of work. Meanwhile, just some of the sets around it, like there was a lot going on, meaning that play design had, because of external issues, there was a lot of responsibilities that they were under. And so kind of what they wanted was an easy set, a set that wasn't that hard to do. Now, Tennis had been tagged, like, when we make sets, we sort of gauge how hard the set's going to be. And we want to have a mix of, hey, we know what we're doing. This isn't really pushing any boundaries. And we have sets that are like, no, we're pushing boundaries. And this set had been a pushing boundary set by definition. We were supposed to be pushing boundaries. Sometimes we have other sets where we're like, okay, like the audience is really going to enjoy this. We're going back to a world they love or something. And like, we just don't need to push boundaries as much. There's stuff inherent to the world that will get players excited. This was a set that was really pushing things. Like I said, it was the first set ever... I guess we'd been on multiple planes on one set before, but in a way, you know, using the Omen Path and traveling through worlds and making a theme that was multiplanar, we hadn't really quite done that quite in this way before. Racing as a theme was definitely something that was a little more out there. The task we had given ourselves from the very beginning was a more daunting task. And the issue at hand was not that we didn't do what was asked of us. We did exactly what was asked of us. It was just, it's coming to a time where other factors are really pinching play design. So making a set that's sort of like a little more than play design could handle, while in a normal time, maybe they could just, grab a few extra resources. At the point they're at right now, they don't have the extra resources. So what I think is going to happen is Yanni's going to do his best to sort of demonstrate how to make things easier. I think Yanni will have some success, but probably not all the pillars, as we talk about them, will be as adventuresome probably as we pitched from Vision. And that I'm assuming the set that you guys are going to see will be not quite as out there in some of the choices. I can see different paths. I honestly don't know where they'll go. I can see a path where the race stays and they spend more time figuring out how to make it work. But in order to do that, they take out energy, and maybe they bring down the vehicle percentages a little bit. Or I could see a world where the race goes, maybe Encourage gets put in its place, so energy can stay. There's a world where energy gets condensed to, like, blue-red. I mean, there's infinite worlds that it could be in. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to be. And that, maybe the insight of this whole thing for you guys is, when I hand over something for vision design, I don't know the end state of where things are going to be. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Like I said, this is me experimenting with something. Ironically, by the time you heard of this experiment was 2 years ago. So if you like it and want to do more, maybe it'll be a little while before you hear it. But anyway, guys, that is my my podcast from the past. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. But anyway, I'm at work. So we all know what that means. This is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. See you next time.